Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November 21st, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Well, if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions into questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Also, please consider joining our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find the tab on the right-hand side or on the front page of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're in the book of Romans, and let me bail out of here. We're in the book of Romans, and this is being read by Alexander Scorby, Romans chapter 10.
Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, Did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But Israel, he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or any announcements are you aware of?
Yes, we have several questions tonight, John.
Okay.
First question. Is there going to be a certificate for the completion of all the grand jury administrators' position requirements? I have completed the course, but cannot get in touch with anyone in the Oklahoma area. Is there anywhere that needs an administrator in the Southeast? I'm very ready to start working.
Okay, yeah, we did have quite a few people that did sign up to become administrators for the jury. And I'm looking on the website on the right-hand side. We do have a number here because this website gets a tabulation for that. I'm pretty sure we did have a number up here. Hang on. Yeah, total was about 1,200 people, about 1,250 people. Now, we're going to be making contact with those people hopefully real soon. We have 3,130 some odd counties in the United States, and we're going to need four administrators and a paralegal, which actually would be five administrators because the paralegal will fill in whenever necessary. But we do need a paralegal in each county also to work out the paperwork, and we're still in the process of writing the handbook. Haven't been able to get back to that yet, but that'll be developed soon. So we still have some time for that. We are planning on certificates. As a matter of fact, it's written up. I believe we added a couple of paragraphs in the handbook for committees of safety. And, in order for an individual to take that position, which is a paid position, full-time paid position, it's a career position, right now it's filled by bar attorneys that make the decision on who is going to get into the jurors. They're the ones that really orientate them, and they stack the juries, of course. We've discovered that, and of course they run off positions and handbooks that are totally outside of the common law, and it's very controlling. We spoke about that before, but one Monday I think what we're going to do is take a look at that particular handbook concerning jurors, both grand jurors and trial jurors. So there are, again, the Association for Jurors, I know they have a different name in different states, that handle that. And we the people need to take control of that because this is the people's court, and definitely we don't want a bar attorney or any kind of a political animal handling that. Now, as far as certificates are concerned, people are required that's going to take that position to complete the course. And, of course, as we're going forward, if there's going to be a lot of positions going to have to be filled before people are going to be able to complete that course, and hopefully it will be a lot of positions we'll be filling where people have taken the courses. And the requirement is to take all the courses for National Liberty Alliance and then an accredited course for a jury administrator. And I think that's the most difficult course that we've put together. It's the most in-depth. It'll go, all of our. It pretty much covers a lot to some degree, all of the courses, but it does add some new things into it. At some point in time, people have to have that certificate in order to work the position. And it'll be up to the other administrators to kind of police each other to make sure that that is, that work is done by each person that's taken those positions. Now, of course, we're also setting up for committees of the judiciary on each committee within the county, and they would have contact, particularly with the jury administrators, and they would settle any problems if someone was misbehaving and the other jurors, the other administrators felt that, that they need to leave or something. That decision would be made by the Committee of Safety within that county. And they would also be responsible for making sure positions are filled by someone qualified. In other words, they've taken the courses as time goes on. But right now, National Liberty Alliance will make that decision to get at least the initial things going on as many counties as we can. But eventually, the committees of safety, as they develop throughout the each county throughout the United States, and they'll be responsible for maintaining that because that is the people's work, and their duty that they must perform. We must take this. This is key to our courts to make sure that we have a free and independent thinking jury, a jury that understands the power and the authority of nullification, and a jury that understands at least the basics of who we are as a people and what our heritage is. And we're putting together, and we probably have pretty much developed most of the things we need to, in order to bring these jurists to orientate them into, at least to a point where they are then qualified to act as jurist. And again, you know, the key thing is really that people act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And jurors must understand that, you know, that they are the total controllers of the court. They are the king's bench. They are the deciders, the judges, the tribunal. Their decision is final. No judge can overturn it, and there should be no judge in a court of law. There should be a magistrate. But anyway, we have not. I have not put the certificate together yet. We will be doing that soon. I just haven't had the time to do that. But again, it's. We do still have a little time before we get to that point. We will be calling for a special meeting soon to discuss these things with all the people that have signed up to see who is still active in this. We've been building for quite a few years, and we do have some attrition as time has gone on. And so we have to find out who is still active and, you know, and accepting these positions. And, of course, it's still open, so there are lots of positions. So time will in time we'll announce that when we get that certifications done. Of course, one of the first things we're doing, and this is what we're working on right now, is the papers, the final papers for the against the judiciary and the Bar Association that we'll be addressing to the United States Supreme Court and looking for decisions from them, but also considering really an actual jury to deal with the problem and the decisions should we not get favorable results. But I think we will get favorable results from the United States Supreme Court concerning the decisions and the issues that they've been deciding lately. I'm kind of hoping to be done with those papers in the next couple of weeks, and we'll review them live probably on a Monday night. I know tonight I was thinking of doing something, you know, I'm writing a book called The Harmony of the Gospels, it's important that we work to get the Bible back into the school. You know, the Bible was in the school up until 1963, and when they removed prayer from the school, and I don't even think they mentioned anything about the Bible per se, but once they removed prayer from the school, the Bible went along with it. And all of our, you know, as long as America has been around up until 1963, the Bible was the centerpiece of our education. It was in all schools. We need to get back to that because, of course, if our children don't know who the king of the court is and they don't know anything about the king of the court, justice and morality and righteousness, you know, we will lose favor with God, of course, but we also will lose our common law courts, and they wouldn't know the will of the king. I mean, of course, God has written these things into our hearts, and that's really where we govern from. But nevertheless, we can't expect to be a Christian nation, which is what we are, and never mention that to our children. So I did complete a paper on this, which I'll be filing up on National Liberty Alliance. I think I'm going to put a series of papers up underneath Starter Committee of Safety on a blue bar right here, the National Liberty Alliance. So I'll create a page. And we're going to talk about different issues so that the committees of safety, people in the committees of safety can come in and consider these positions, these thoughts, and, you know, we can grow from there and add from there as we go along. You know, it's up to the people in the counties to make the decisions how they're going to act, but we do have to help and assist them with the knowledge and information they need in order to go and perform the duties that they have to perform, either as the Committee of Safety and the different subcommittees, and also, of course, with the jury administrators. And I guess that's it. What other questions do you have, Jan?
Okay, if what Jesus said is true, that the First Commandment is the most important, would it not make sense that the First Amendment is the most important as well?
I would think, yeah, absolutely, at least to some degree. I mean, I don't know if we can relate that specifically, but of course, the First Amendment is key, and the First Commandment, of course, is key, that there is one God, and we're only to worship that one God. We'll have no other gods before him. So, of course, that is key. And the freedom of and liberty of our choice of how we worship and what religion we might want to participate in is paramount in our Bill of Rights, which brings us into the First Amendment, which also is our right of well, let me open it up and read exactly what the First Amendment says. It says, Congress shall not make any law respecting an establishment of religion or forbidding the free exercise thereof. So, of course, that is a key thing. And the United States Supreme Court in 1963, when they made that decision, did they not make law? Of course, they're not permitted to make law. That's the job of legislators. The United States Supreme Court is to act and respond under American jurisprudence, which is governed and written under and with the appreciation and understanding of common law, built on maxims, and to operate under the rules of common law. And of course, that was removed by the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, and executed in 1938. But anyway, the First Amendment goes on, or bridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peacefully assemble, and this is a key one here, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Because to some degree, that's what we are doing. The papers that we're writing, which will be the final papers into the Supreme Court, is going to be an indictment. An indictment would not look at the criminal side of things, but it is an indictment on the fact that the Bar Association has committed treason, and the purpose of the Bar Association was to destroy our courts, to destroy justice, to destroy our common law. And that was the purpose. And that goes all the way back into the colonies in 1750, and they've been working at that ever since. Our founding fathers, after the Constitution was completed, executed, and I think it was 1818, around that time period somewhere, where they authored and penned the 13th Amendment, which forbid bar, particularly written about bar attorneys, to forbid them from holding any position of honor. And should they do so, and we'll look into that a little bit too. But we have looked at it in the past. They cannot hold that position, a position of honor, by a foreign power, and hold a position of office, position in office here in our United States. And it talks about them ceasing to be a citizen and so on. I'll see if I can't find that. Maybe we'll read that. What else do we have, Jan?
Well, if what Abe Lincoln told us is true, the people are the masters of Congress and the courts. Why cannot the people of our nation unite to demand that God's Ten Commandments be restored to all our schools and courts?
Yeah, well, again, that brings us right back to looking into the Gospels, the Bible, and bringing the Bible back in. And, of course, the Ten Commandments is a key thing that does need to be, I think, in every classroom. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. Nobody can argue with those Ten Commandments. But in any event, again, we are a Christian nation, and that's what I think we have to really come to appreciate. And that's why I want to do, I was going to do that tonight, but I think we got too much going on. I know Gerard's going to be talking about some things specifically. We do have some people in the queue. But I think next week, I might even start a little early. I might start at 15:45 in order to be able to get things done within the first hour, so that the second hour maybe we can have an open forum or maybe focus in on another subject. So we'll think about that. I'll think about that, and I'll talk with Gerard about that. But next week, I think, is when I'm going to do that. And I will send out an email letting people know that we're going to have a subject focus, which will be returning the Bible to our schools. And again, I did finish that paper. I have it done, and I was kind of hoping to do it tonight, but I think it would be too much to try to squeeze in. And I don't want to be limited with time where I have to skip some of the things. It's kind of a lengthy paper, but I wouldn't say that lengthy. We can definitely do it probably within 45 minutes to an hour. But again, I don't want to be stuck where we're not going to be able to finish it. It's pretty powerful. I've got a lot of information concerning who we are as a people from our founding fathers, and a lot of quotes, and even actually the structure, how our nation was structured as a people through our Constitution, of course, the Bill of Rights and the Declaration and the foundation of our law, which is the Declaration of Independence. So those three documents particularly. But it's by no means complete. I mean, there's so much more we can find, and I know I kind of limited myself to, I think, 10 or 12 pages, so it's quite a bit of information. All right, next question.
Okay. May we discuss how to file judicial reviews in our state? I live in Illinois.
Well, I'm not too sure what they mean by judicial review. I mean, we are working with a group that's really for, goodness, what's the name of it for the review? And it's basically reviewing. We do have some information underneath starting a committee of safety. It's called the Republic Review. There it is. And anybody who hasn't seen this page should really go take a look at this page. Listen, watch the videos. There's mostly short videos. And, of course, there's some written information on what the Republic Review is all about, which is kind of going back and having the states come together and electing individuals, the representatives for each state, to come together and discuss all of the unconstitutional legislation that has been building up over the past 100-plus years, particularly since the Organic Act of 1871, which has to be struck out to begin with, and that's really the beginning of that foundation. And upon that has written all of this legislation and law in order to incarcerate us statutorily. So we're living in a statutory prison, so to speak, where they're applying civil law upon us. And so that's going to be the job of the Republic Review, trying to stay far, far away from a constitutional convention. There is no need for a constitutional convention. There are people trying to push forward constitutional convention. We're dead against it. We don't have the wisdom yet. We haven't lived under the wisdom. Look, we don't even know who the king of the court is, most of the people. Our children don't know. Our posterity is in trouble, in jeopardy of being lost. And therefore our nation, our heritage, everything, liberty, everything is in jeopardy of being lost unless we come back and reinstate all these things. So this was an important thing, this Republic Review. It's an important group of people to work with, to support them. All of the committees of safety should be supporting them. And I would think the committees of safety might be the groups to help assist to bring people together within their state as representation. I'm not sure exactly how they're working out that part of it. I don't think we do want any elected individuals involved. I think we want representatives to come together that are not necessarily holding political positions at this point in time. But before we even consider or think about a constitutional convention, I would think we would want to try to first exercise the Constitution for a while and come to an understanding of who we are, become educated on who we are as a people before we even think of even trying to try to add. And to be honest with you, I believe that the Constitution and of course, its extended Bill of Rights, which is also part of the Constitution, and the foundation of our law, the Declaration of Independence, and the fact that we're under common law within our courts. When you put that all together, I think our founding fathers did a very efficient job. I don't know that there is anything lacking there. Now, I did talk with the people from the Republic Review, and there are some things that we have to think about that Congress has executed that does make some sense, but they haven't had the authority to execute that. So we have to think about how we want to approach and deal with those particular issues. And offhand, I can't think of an issue particularly as an example, but I'll think about it. If I think of one, I'll pipe it in. But, all right, next question.
Well, I had one more, John, but when I read through it, there weren't any questions in it, although it came into the questions bin. So I guess we're done for the evening.
Okay.
Questions.
We don't have any announcements by anyone, do we?
Well, we probably should make mention. I find it here quick. The Reawaken America Conference that you and I went to in Girard, hosted by General Flynn and Clay Clark. And they have that whole Team of America tour that travels with them. It's in Tulsa. Yeah, it was in Tulsa, gone. The next one coming up is in Nashville, and that's January 20th and 21st of next year for anyone that lives in or near Nashville, Tennessee, and would like to go. And there's a link you can click in the announcement section on the newsletter if anybody wants to check it out and see who the speakers are. They have a whole pot full of great speakers, and they travel with the group. So you're guaranteed to have a good time for 2 days if people want to go. I would highly recommend it.
Isn't there something coming up in the next few months down in Delaware or Maryland or something?
There may be, but they haven't listed anything definite past the
January. Yeah, but I think there was something else other than those group of people putting it together. There was something else, I think, that came up at that event.
No, I thought it was another one of their conferences.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention. So, okay, if that's it, that's it. I know we do want to get some. It's been a while since we had some meetings with the leadership, so we'll be pushing for a leadership meeting coming up very soon. I did hear a little bit of discussion when I was coming into the room this evening. And, of course, it'll be held in this room here. But we do have to pull together the leadership. We have to really kind of come together to see where we're at. We want to try to find out and discover exactly how many committees of safety we have going throughout the United States at this point. I did hear a number. I'm not too sure whether the number is correct, so I'm not going to bring it up at this point. But I think we do have to report to the people how many committees of safety we have going. For anybody who wants to discover whether there's a committee of safety within their county, if you come up here and click on district coordinators, you should be able to get the information. Now, we have 10 district coordinators. All 10 of these positions are full. Are they all active and talking with people? We need to talk with all of these district coordinators anyway at our national meeting. They're all active, aren't they? Or we have all these positions filled at this moment and we need more help?
I think Ed has all of them filled.
Okay. We definitely need more help anyway, because if they're all filled, we only have one per district, and I think we should need more. I mean, some of these districts, for instance, let's say District 10, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they're handling 7 states, and it would be nice to have one person per state. We do have state leaders or coordinators, we haven't really, we did organize quite some time ago, and we did have all those positions, or most of those positions filled, but I think a lot of those people kind of fell asleep. You know, when people don't see quick action, they don't see results right away, and maybe they see some defeats and not that many wins, and they get, disgusted or tired or whatever, and then they kind of go back to sleep. From time to time, I do get an email, someone that's frustrated and angry, and, what have we accomplished? Well, we've accomplished a lot, but there's a lot more we need to accomplish. And just like Washington, we've suffered a lot of losses. You know, George Washington lost most of the battles, but he won the war, and that's the key. And that's the same thing with us. We've lost a lot of battles, but we've won some, but we do intend on winning the war. And, going to battle, especially in areas and things that you don't really have a lot of experience in, but you're learning, we're all on a learning curve. I've been on a learning curve for over 14, 15 years now that we've been researching and studying and putting these things together. And therefore, as we battle in the courts or whatever it is we're doing, we will have a lot of failures, and we have had a lot of failures, and that's the school of hard knocks, because for every failure, you become stronger. For every failure, you become more knowledgeable. For every failure, you plan on what to do next the next time, and you may fail again. What do you do next time? And then you plan to do something else again, and at some point in time, you find something that works. You know, none of us, or at least I'm, was never educated formally in any of the things that we do. It's all self-education and school of hard knocks. So, and things take time, It is unfortunate that we live in an environment and our children especially being born in this environment, with all this technology, and it hasn't made us any smarter. People think it has made us smarter, but I disagree. I think it's made us a more dumber people. All of us are ignorant, and I speak to myself first. We're all ignorant to the things we need to know. I know as for me, I made a decision to learn the things I need to know and the things I should know. And I learned things that I know, I realized that I need to know that I didn't even know I needed to know. And so there's a lot to learn there. But no one's going to build knowledge unless they first come to the realization that if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. That's Thomas Jefferson. And I bring that quote up often. And that is key. You can't have liberty. You cannot have it if you want to remain ignorant. You have to work for it. You have to support it. You have to fight for it, and you have to keep it. And everybody has a duty to be active in their counties, in the committees of safety, not just now until we save the nation or to some point in time they think, oh, well, I don't need to do it anymore. No, it needs to be forever done. Our children need to be picking up on this. They need to learn. We should be bringing our children to these meetings that we have, these conversations, and the things that we learn. We should be bringing our children here. But people don't read books anymore. And that specifically in schools, but it's everywhere. People are tweeting. Those smartphones have really dumbed us down. They've taken the wind out of us, so to speak, the knowledge out of us, because people expect to get things quickly. And also people say things on those phones that they would never say to the face of people. So sometimes bad conversations really, rule that whole process. And especially for our children who are not, not mature enough, to put a thing like that into the hands of our children is a very dangerous thing. And children, sometimes they do stupid things. I did a lot of stupid things when I was a kid. After all, you're learning. You got to do a lot of again, that's the way you learn. But you put a weapon in the hand that injures someone, like these phones. So, I'm going to be writing some papers on some of these issues, putting it up, and hopefully it'll be picked up by the people, and people can add to it and, think about it and execute whatever it is that they want to do on the grassroots level, because, they should never have any national control of what happens on the grassroots level, and National Liberty Alliance has no intentions of trying to control anybody or anything going on, just to feed people information, to feed people and educate them in the things that they should know and put together the basic structure for a committee of safety, and then the people have to grow from there and execute the necessary subcommittees that they will discover that they need as a people because of a problem here or a problem there. And so, we all have to work it out. But we're not going to learn these things on a tweet. We'll never learn these things on a tweet. You're not going to learn on in a one-hour meeting and get the information you need and you think you're done. You're not going to maintain and have government by consent unless you're active every month. So liberty is going to cost. And I say the cost at this point in time is only a couple of hours a month, no big deal, to attend one meeting a month, in the evening of your choice. Maybe a couple of hours a month of work that the subcommittees need to be doing, like visiting a school. You should visit a school at least one a month. The Committee of Education should be visiting a school once a month. And I'm going to write a paper on that and how that might work and ideas and how you might want to get in touch with the local community, the parents in the local community to attend these things. And hopefully maybe they'll get involved, I would think a lot of them would, with the committees of safety once they learn what we're doing. And to expose to these people what is being taught to their children in school and to propose on the other side of that on what they need to learn. And there's a lot that they need to learn that they're not learning. Not only do they have to learn their heritage, their common law, how to access the courts and take care of their own personal, information and things that they need, because from time to time you'll end up in court and you'll have to use the courts. But everyone should be able to know how to do that. If you have to rely on an attorney, a bar attorney particularly, and we're going to get rid of bar attorneys. They got to go. There's no way to get around that. Bar attorneys must go. We do need attorneys, but we have to destroy the bar attorneys, because they're destructive. They're all about civil law, Babylonian law, control of the people, and slavery. That's what they're about. They're the ones that have destroyed this entire nation, judicially speaking. And it extends from that. They destroyed our political process, too. They've pinned one side against the other. They've nothing but created problems. And a lot of them don't even realize it. Of course, there is the key individuals behind this whole thing, working with the New World Order and pushing these things forward. But they're taught what to think. They're taught what to say. They have procedures and processes, and that's that. That's not the way common law works, you know. I was listening to a doctor that I listened to for vitamins and supplements on YouTube, and the guy's name is Dr. Berg, B-E-R-G, and he has solved numerous medical problems that I have, because I don't touch pharmaceuticals, and you can deal with any problem without dealing with pharmaceuticals. And he was talking about what they teach in medical school. And he says there's so much that they have to learn. And they work off memory and protocols, procedures. And that's what they're taught. They don't know how to, they haven't been taught how to think. They're taught what to think, protocol. And of course, the whole thing is really to make money for the pharmaceutical companies. They're the ones that fund this whole thing and control the schools and how things work and the whole system. And behind them is always a bar attorney. There's always a bar attorney found because they get involved with the law and they execute it and they take the power through the process of creating these civil laws. And people have to become aware of this. But going back to the parents, we have to teach the parents and show the parents in the communities. And that's up to the committees of safety. And again, you know, by doing, as you're working, you're going to build more and more membership. In my county, we have 149 election districts, so they're supposed to have 149 committeemen. That's the statutory process, which we as the committeemen and the committees of safety, we don't participate in that part. We're not restricted or restrained from some of the things we want to do or could do. They are. But we can act and do all the things that they do and be the real committeemen and take the real control and decide what we need to do. But there is no limit to numbers, okay? As a matter of fact, they have to be elected, and they're not really elected. They're elected by party bosses, ultimately. They're not elected by the people. They have the appearance of that. It's a facade. Anybody that wants to participate can participate, and the more the merrier. The more works, the many hands make light work. So the more people involved, the less work we have to do on an individual basis. So we can have... my county, there's supposed to be one for every election district, and that's bare minimum at some point in time. We have to focus and shoot for that. But we should have 2, 3, 5, 10. We can take 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. Again, the more people, the more activity and the lighter the workload and the more we can do. So as we're helping people, and we bring them into the Committee of Safety to assist them and ask them to join up. Hey, help us work. You know, freely you have received from us. We don't charge anything. We're just the people trying to make things right and making our government operate correctly. Freely you've been given our help. Freely you should give back. And it becomes your duty. Get educated. It's your duty. It's the duty of everyone that's hearing me now and hears in the future and hears others that repeat these messages and build upon these messages. It's their duty to step up and get involved. It's their duty to become educated. And again, we're all on the learning curve, so we don't have to have any special skills. I mean, we do need certain positions that need to be filled by people who have certain skills, and we will find them as we move along to fill those positions. But generally speaking, we don't need any special education here. We just need our bodies and our minds to focus in and do the things that have to be done, and that is to have government by consent, to bring all of our elected representatives under our will, to make sure that they're obedient to us. We need to elect and put into these positions statesmen, not political animals. We need to get rid of both parties. And again, we have a plan to get rid of parties. Parties will fall apart on their own, just like the political, just like the committeemen will fall apart on their own. They'll just fall away. Because as we take on these positions and we become more powerful, and not only in numbers but in abilities and knowledge and the ability to do things, to control things, whoever's left on the committee man side, when they see what we're doing, because they do have most, a lot of people that come into the committee man process really have good intentions in the beginning, and they get subverted. But a lot of them will come over to us because they have a very high attrition rate. They're constantly looking for people because a lot of people just don't last that long, because after a while they start to see the fraud, they start to see the corruption, they start to see that the fix is in, and they start to see that their vote doesn't really count, and they start to see that the only choices that the people have is the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. And that's their choices. And so we have to get rid of that. And I've done a paper on this, on democracy versus the republic. And only a democracy requires and needs those parties, because they feed against themselves in order to destroy each other, so that the real power behind this whole thing, that sets this whole thing up, that is observing all this whole thing and pushing all of these problems and political stances one against the other, standing black against white and Christian against Jew or Muslim and this and that. Everything's a division everywhere. And when, you know, it's the old thing, divide and conquer. That's what it's all about. And that's what political parties do. They divide and conquer. They destroy everything. George Washington had written two-thirds of his farewell speech talking about the destructive forces and the problems of political parties, and we should have no part of it. And yet here we are. We should not have parties. We should not have judges sitting in courts of law making any decisions. You know, and again, people need to learn how that process works. Okay. All right, so we're done with questions here at this point, right?
Yes, I have no more questions.
Okay. All right, I see we do have some people in the queue. I'm going to be turning things over in about 25 minutes. What time is it? It looks like 9:32, or is that 52? Well, my clock is so small. Oh, it's 52. Okay. 52. Well, I'm going to take some questions for right now and then turn things over to Gerard shortly. Let's take our first caller, Brett. You got the mic, go right ahead. I think I pushed the button. Did that work? Hang on. Okay, Brett, you got the mic, go right ahead. 724, I see a Brett written down there. Area code 724. 978?
Brett? Yeah.
Is that Brett? What's your name? What's your first name in your state?
This is Marianne calling from Illinois. I'm actually the one who sent that question about judicial review. But I was trying to figure out more on a state level, because we have a GA that's just out of control.
Well, that's the Committee of Safety can deal with that problem once you form and get together and organize and empower yourself in the things, read through the booklet, and you could do that. You know, judicial review, I'm not too sure exactly what you mean by that, but here's the situation. You know, when we built the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, what we did, and I'm just going to go through it quickly, is that we went through every state and every county, and or at least most counties, and we did a number of counties at one time sometimes, but we went through all of the counties throughout New York and we did, I mean, throughout the United States, and we did establish a grand jury a grand jury in every state. So with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which first we developed the Unified State Grand Juries, and then we brought those grand juries together to sign on to create the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we've done a number of indictments over the years, we'll be pulling some things together soon where we'll put the word out and anybody can come in and be part of that jury, that decision, on whatever it is we're doing for a potential indictment. One of the things we realized is that people are not educated enough and understand enough about the common law and how we're really structured and how the courts work and how the whole process works and the difference between equity and law. And you can't go in there and start pushing through the process and not understand what it is you're doing. Now, you can remove people from power. That's a slam dunk, easy to do, And that we teach you right there in the Committee of Safety book and in our presentation we did. You know, it's on our front page, as a matter of fact. Let me go to that real quick. Anybody who hasn't seen this, they should see it. And this is how your first presentation should really go forward, putting together a seminar. And that's usually... Hello?
Okay. My headset went out. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
This seminar, and, you know, and basically this is the type of seminar you want. It should be like a three-hour seminar, maybe four hours, you know, on a Saturday or a weekend. That's the first meeting, which is a presentation to get people to join. After that, you know, your meeting should be whatever how length of time you want it to be, usually 2 hours, and usually in an evening. A lot of people like to do it on a Monday, but, you know, whatever people want to do. But the first meeting, the seminar, should be, 3 to 4 hours, and it should be done probably on a weekend. A Saturday is a good thing, starting at noon, done in a library or at the town hall or any other place that you want to use, a venue, any other venue you can think of. Going back to the point, you can get rid of that person by doing recall. You can recall them. If it's an individual that's appointed, then you can go after the individual that's elected that appointed them. And then you can, and if that person doesn't take care of business, then you remove them from office. And you can, you know, a Committee of Safety can remove anyone from office. The only exception might be the President of the United States. We'd have to think about that. But you can remove a governor, you can move anybody. And I would imagine a president really could be, it would be a big thing to do. That would be a hard job, but could be done, I think, maybe. But in any event, the point is that the Committees of Safety can remove anyone from office within 90 days. And if they're committing a crime, if there's a criminal act going forward, if they're using their elected position as a platform to destroy, for instance, bring forward gun control, right there is against the law. Well, that's an indictment. All these people that are up there trying to create all these laws are breaking the law. There is laws to prevent that from happening. Anybody who's using their office in order to destroy our Constitution and take away the rights of the people, that's subversion, and it's a crime, and it's punishable, and you can indict that person. So by developing your Committees of Safety and getting enough people involved and finding the people to take these positions as jury administrators to create a proper jury, at that point in time, then you can start working on indictments for people that you want to remove right away because they're breaking the law. But generally speaking, 90 days you can get rid of an individual in office. That's the time period to process, about 90 days. You know, you have to walk papers, you have to get a certain number of petitions signed, and then you have to file them. And that whole process, and then there's a time period, and then it goes on to the ballot for a special election to remove the individual, and you have them removed. So that's how you would deal with that. So... And this is what, an attorney general, I think, an AG?
No, we're having trouble with just about every, when I say the GA, the General Assembly, we have them passing all sorts of crazy.
Well, that's really easy. Again, you get your Committee of Safety going, that's easy to solve that problem. And again, you have to get educated in that, read the books. The book that we wrote, it's about 70 pages, and just follow the instructions step by step. It'll take some time. But in 3 to 4 months, you could have a sufficient amount of people to and have developed a sufficient amount of knowledge in order to execute your powers as the people from the grassroots level to exercise your right of government by consent and bring these people under control. But there is a process, and you want to get the sheriff on board and get them him or her into the game, and working with you. And there, again, there's a process to get to that point. But once you get maybe 50 people, 80 people, whatever, and you get the sheriff on board, now you're going to be visiting all of these different government agencies, so to speak, whether it be legislative or governing, administrative process, part of whatever the elected position is, then you're going to bring these people under control. Just to give you an example, okay, You know, I'll talk about Dutchess County where I live. There's 149 committeemen, okay? And it's the party bosses that do everything. They decide everything, which it should be really just the people with an honest heart, a sense of honor and justice and mercy going forward to do the right thing and expecting the people we elected or people that were appointed or people that were, you know, hired to be doing the right thing and following the law. When a county chair, okay, a chairman for the county was to call any elected individual and let that individual know, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I'm going to meet you. I'd like to meet you for coffee, sit down, or whatever in their office. Is Tuesday good for you or Thursday, whatever the case may be. But these people will respond and will meet with the county chairman. Why? Because that county chairman was responsible to get that person or participate for that person to get into that office position. And so therefore, they're going to listen and they're going to obey. And when they say, hey, look, we don't like what you're doing, we don't want you to do this, that, or the other thing, or whatever the case may be, they're going to obey. Why? Because those people put them in office and those people can take them out of office. Those people can also not walk their papers ever again. So it's a pretty powerful position to be in. But we don't want to get into the committeeman process that's controlled by statutes. We want to get into the committees of safety, which is just controlled by we the people. And we have every right and authority and ability to do everything and a lot more than the committeeman can do. So once you establish yourself within the county, and there's a process of doing that, we wrote it up, then you'll be working with power and clout. And when these people step out of line and they get a call, you can reel them back in and put them back under the subjection of the people, ultimately the Constitution, and under the threat of, you know, throwing them out of office.
What they're doing now is they are obeying party bosses.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Putting forth so many outrageous laws that they really expect. They passed allegedly an amendment for collective bargaining at the government level. And
well, that's everywhere. That's everywhere in every county, every state, every town. We all have the same problem. And one of the problems is they're out of control because they're not controlled by anything but other people. And these people get this power things in their mind or something. I had a conversation, a very short time on the phone with someone with the police department on their records. And boy, the way they talked to me was so disrespectful. And I didn't respond back with disrespect. I wanted to, but I didn't. And they wouldn't give me what I needed, so my call was short and I moved on. And I'll deal with that from another way. But that's everywhere, you know. People need to understand that you're the boss, not them. They need to obey us, and they need to be doing the right thing. They shouldn't be hiding things and requiring us to go through hoops to get information. They should not be required doing these things. But until we get them to fear the people, okay, because that's what we have to have. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. And until we bring it, and that's where the committees of safety come in. They need to be feared. That's their boss. That's the people that'll put them in office and take them out of office. That's the people that will push them forward into a potential indictment if they're breaking the law and move things over to the jury administrators, who would then call forth a grand jury and orientate them and deal with the problem. And there are lots of other steps along the way that it could be dealt with before you pursue an indictment process. Because that can all be settled by the jury administrators, which we're writing all that process up. You know, we all have that problem. We all have people we want to get rid of and out of office. They're destructive. They're destroying things, and whether it be in our schools, our legislators, everywhere. It's a mess everywhere, a total mess. But remember, if the people aren't educated, how can you go fix the problem if you don't know what it is that they need to be doing, if you don't know what the law is, the real law, the common law, if you don't know what the Constitution says, if you don't know what their powers actually are, if you don't understand who they appointed and where the problems are? You know, again, this is an education that's required, and again, nobody needs to know it all. collectively we work together. I know a little bit here, this person knows a little bit there, that another one, you come together and you work the problems out and do what you have to do. Okay. Anything else before I move on? Because I'd like to take at least one more call before I move over to Gerard. We done, Marianne?
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to take at least one more call, and then I'm going to move things over to Gerard. It's 10:03, so I'm not going to take too long, and we'll see how when Gerard finishes, maybe he'll pick back up to an open forum. I don't know how much he's got to share, how long it's going to take him. But let's go to, Jim in Pennsylvania. You got the mic, I think. Yeah, go right ahead, Jim.
Hello, John. Jim, Pennsylvania. I had invited you to speak at our national meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman wants you to speak in person.
Okay. Yeah, he should know who I am and get some information. You mean a private meeting between the chairman and myself?
No, he wants you to be in person at the meeting.
Oh, and where's that?
Well, we were in Nevada last week, so it moves around, but we also have a Pennsylvania chapter.
Yeah, I can travel through most of New York and a good part of Pennsylvania. Yeah, you can't go too far out, but Pennsylvania, Jersey, Connecticut, some of the other New England states here, you know, I'll travel to some degree, but I can't travel too far too much. I'm just way, way too busy. You know, but, yeah, when's the next time you're coming closer? Pennsylvania? Where about in Pennsylvania do you think the next meeting will be?
I'm not sure, but, I think they were talking about Clarion County, which is towards the east, but in the center of the state.
Well, I should have a meeting with the leadership first so they know who I am and what I'm bringing and what I might be talking about. And if I can't make it, maybe Gerard can do it. But nevertheless, how much time would I get? I mean, I wouldn't want to travel a long distance to get 10, 15 minutes.
I believe that you would get, you know, whatever you need to get your point across to.
Well, I'm long-winded, so that could take some time.
Well, like I said,
but, I'm just making a little humor there to some degree. I can shorten things up. But the thing is, how long do the meetings go for? How many speakers do they have? Or is it just going to be one speaker? What are they meeting for? What's going on?
Okay, the meeting would be for the day, but that's the Pennsylvania meeting. The national meeting would be for 2 days.
Okay.
So either meeting, you would have the time you needed to make your point.
Okay. All right. Yeah, definitely. Keep me informed when Pennsylvania is rolling by, and I'm sure I'll be able to make it. Do we know where? It'll be central Pennsylvania, or eastern, western, northern, southern?
They're shooting for Clarion County, which is towards the center eastern part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's good. I can go out there. I have family out kind of close towards Allentown area way, maybe a little further, let me say, west from Allentown. So I can make that a visit at the same time. So I could do that. Pennsylvania is kind of convenient for me.
Okay, well, that's now here's the thing. The national chairman will be at the Pennsylvania meeting. He is a Pennsylvania resident, so he'll be at our Pennsylvania meeting. So he's the guy that we want you to, then he would invite you wherever, maybe we'll be in the eastern part of the country, and you would be able to make it to one of those meetings. Because we move around to different, territories of east, west, north, and south of the country.
Are we looking springtime or over the winter, or where are we looking roughly, do you know?
Springtime for the state meeting and the national, because we meet twice for the state and twice for the national.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And again, I think we should at conference and get to meet and know each other a little bit before. It kind of makes sense. I mean, they should know what we're all about. Are they familiar with National Liberty Alliance? Were they familiar
I'm trying to explain National Liberty Alliance. Our national chairman is not a bar member, but he is
an attorney.
And, you know, he's open to it. That I mentioned to him that you want to do away with the Bar Association, and he didn't think that was a good idea. So that's why I think you need to talk to them.
Absolutely.
Person.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Look, at the bar, I've already made a case that the Bar Association needs to go and why. And it's an overwhelming, powerful case that I've laid out, and I'll be reestablishing that case and, you know, kind of doing a recap and a focus before the United States Supreme Court as we're going in, because we're suing the federal judiciary as a whole, and we're also suing the Bar Association as a whole, which includes even, you know, because all judges are bar, still bar lawyers, they still belong to the bar. And so they're under the control, the wing, the control of a foreign entity. And their focus is to control people under the common law, under the civil law. Anyway, yeah, we should definitely talk first. I mean, in any event, and I'm not sure, so sure that I'd be bringing information concerning that at the meeting anyway. I'd be focusing more in at building committees of safety, the power and the authority of that, and also taking back the control of the courts and bringing back common law. Striking out the Rules Enabling Act, and in that Rules Enabling Act that was executed, they negated common law. So we have to turn that back around. All right. Anyway, you got my phone number, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a call sometime, and then after you and I talk a little bit on the phone, we can make a plan for connecting with whatever leadership I should connect with, and then we'll get a little conference going with that. Maybe we'll pull a few people from NLA here, Gerard, Jan, and a few others maybe, I don't know. And we'll have a little meeting and discuss things, and they'll get to know us, and we'll lay out a plan of what we'd be talking about. Okay?
John, I'd like to be able to arrange for you to speak at the state meeting, Pennsylvania state meeting, and the national, but that's what I'd like to see happen, because I think these people would be interested. They may not all agree, you know how that is, but I think you have a very important message that you or Gerard could explain much better than I can to them.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best. Again, you know, maybe in the springtime, depending on a lot of things, maybe I can travel out west or something or some place further. You know, right now I'm just so busy and I'm so behind in things, I really couldn't take too much time off to travel, you know.
I mean,
Pennsylvania is not a big deal for me. I could do that, you know, 2 days, a day or two, and I'm back and forth, and that's that.
Yes, like you said, Pennsylvania would be the next one, and then possibly we're right east, northeast, then the national ones. You know, wait till we get to the national one. But I really would like to see you or Gerard speak to this group, and I think there'd be a lot of good dialogue as a result of it.
Okay. All right, give me a call, and whenever you feel we can talk, we should talk, we'll talk. Okay, you got my number.
Yeah. That's great. I have a quick question here. From my trip to Nevada, I had tried to visit with the Cook County Sheriff in Chicago, and I tried to visit with the Washoe County Sheriff in Nevada. Now here's my perception from these sheriff's offices. They seem like the Chicago sheriff, he seemed like he had his bureaucrat deputies protect him from his constituents. That's what I perceived it to be. They'd act like I was from, you know, I was bothering them just to come and talk with them. Like he was just too, the great and powerful sheriff, he's just too powerful to speak with. That's perception I got from trying to visit. When I visited with on my way out west and on my return trip, you had a layover at Chicago. I mean, that was my perception. Now, the other thing, and I'm leading up to my question here, the other one is the Washoe County Sheriff in Nevada, Reno, Nevada. They were closed on Veterans Day. They were closed. So there was nobody at the reception or anything like that. So what I'm saying is, should the sheriff's office because they are the one elected officer, peace officer, that worked for the constituents. I'm opposed to federal grants because they don't have any money, but would it be possible, would it be logical for us to allow or endorse a federal grant to the sheriff's office to keep them open 24/7?
Well, look, it's kind of crazy that they shut down the chief law enforcement of the county, but they don't understand that. Most sheriffs have no clue of anything in the law. They have no background in the law. They don't know statutes. They know civil law. They don't know the difference between that and common law. They're totally ignorant to these things. They really don't understand their powers and authorities. And therein is why we have this campaign for constitutional sheriffs going, where we give them a copy of the book, Government by Consent. And on this book, on the page of this book, we have the history. In Chapter 5, we've got an entire chapter on the powers and the authorities and what the job is of a sheriff. Okay? And so Chapter 5 should be their focus. And they should understand who they are and what they should be doing. They should know the Constitution. And again, you know, we've got a chapter in the Constitution, of course, Bill of Rights, I mean, all of our founding documents and so on. So that's the key thing is meeting. That's why you want to get a committee of safety going. You want to meet with your sheriff. You want to make sure he gets a copy of the book. And then that first meeting should be very short. You shouldn't have too much to communicate, other than having, the necessary paperwork that you put together as you formed your committees. You have to have your charter, you have to have your resolutions, has to be sealed, put in the book form, make sure the sheriff's got a copy of the book, 5-10 minute meeting, very cordial, and out of there. But the next meeting is the one that'll be hours, an hour, 2 hours, whatever. You want that sheriff to come to the actual meeting and start to really discuss with the sheriff what your expectations are. At that point, he's had time to review the book and other paperwork that you've given him to understand who you are as a people, as a group, and what your intentions are, what your resolutions are. And again, that charter defines who you are. And everything is lawful, legal, and he should appreciate it and realize that these are the people that are going to keep him in office. But he's got to be obedient to the people, ultimately to the law. He's there to protect the people. He's not there to protect the government. He's there to protect the people. That's his job. But with that, I got to move because I got to move over to Gerard, and we'll see if we open back up with an open forum with the rest of the people here. So give me a call, all right?
I will.
All right, Gerard. I'm kind of running late for you. I'm passing things over to you. You got the board. You want me to? I'm going to shut my board off.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
You might want to speak a little louder unless you can put the volume up or put your mic a little closer.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what this stupid mic is doing.
Good right there.
All right.
So, okay, I'll stop sharing so you can take over the screen. I'm going to have to leave by about 5 minutes to 11.
I'm not going to have enough time to do what I wanted to do because I got Ollie's going to help me.
Well, if you're going to go over a little bit, go over, because we used to do this till midnight anyway,
Yeah, well, so. But everybody's expecting 11. Yeah, we can go over a little bit, but
that's why, I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I'm taking up more of your time talking to you, so get out the mic.
Yeah.
And I think I stopped sharing, so you got the controls to take.
So anyway, I'm going to have to do in a half hour what I thought I'd have an hour, but it's not a big deal, and we can even expand upon this at another meeting too.
Yeah, next time you have something to share, I think what we should do is let you take the first hour. Next week I'm going to be sharing something, and I'm going to focus in on the Bible back in the schools, how it happened, what happened, and why we should make it get it back in the schools. I thought it would be too much to do it tonight.
Right.
So, okay. You got it.
Well, originally you had asked me to, bring the people up to speed on some of this stuff like SGNON.
Correct.
And what's his name? Derek Johnson, the other military.
Oh, yeah. By the way, real quick, and for you and also for the other people, I'm not sharing my screen anymore, but if people go to our Today's Issues and come down to Q News, by that SQAnon. I did put a couple of videos up here that relate to him. You know, the last one we have by him is audio number 26, but we did put that Derek Johnson video up there. And I also put a video up here that was done just recently by Christian Patriot. And it just relates to everything we're doing, so I stuck that up there. And of course, there's a couple of interviews that we put up here, too. But anybody who hasn't been watching these videos, this is the stuff that's going to keep you up to date, what's really going on behind the scenes and so on and so forth. So, but Gerard's going to be talking about that tonight, so let me get off the mic. You got it.
Yeah, Gerard. And so what I'd like to do is, like you mentioned, Christian Patriot. Actually, he was one of the ones I was going to put up here tonight, but, you know.
With today's issues? The one he just released today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's on our page right now, just so you know.
Well, and that's on today's issues down to Q.
Yeah, today's issues underneath, because it relates to Q and
good.
The Q news.
See, normally when we do PSB, we put up show notes, and it has all the URLs to what we're showing.
Uh-huh.
And I want to start to do that for NLA, at least get people to go to the page where they can get these videos and watch them to get the other side of the story. Because if you're going to watch mainstream media and hope that you're going to know what's going on, you're never going to.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
You know, they're not going to teach you anything.
Okay.
And it's what was I going to say? Let's see here. I'm going to let, you know, Ollie, I want to introduce Ollie's
video. All right, I'm muting myself out on this. I'll be listening in.
So anyway, Ollie's got a presentation that I want him to make. I think it's very important. Terry, I did want you to build a page for tonight, but your computer was down, so I didn't ask you to do it. But that's exactly what my plans. But what I did was, here, let me just do this really quickly. Let me do a share screen here, and hopefully this works for me. I want...
When you share screen, make sure, because I've done this and I know you've done it before trying to figure out the problem, make sure you check the box that says share computer sound down on the bottom left. And this way, you know, sometimes I forget to do that and I play something and people aren't hearing it. Then I got to go back and recheck that box.
I didn't see that this time. Let's see. Share screen. Oh, there it is. Share computer.
Yeah, down the bottom left.
Yeah, got it. Good. Thank you. Right. And it's very much the same as Zoom. Same.
Yeah, and just click whatever boxes you want to share, and whatever you don't click is not going to be shared.
Right. So what I want is I guess this would be my desktop. This here. Okay. So anyway, let me just make sure it's coming up.
There it is.
Okay. This is an example of our show notes. This particular one was from the 8th of the month. And these here, they have, you know, I can click on them and they'll bring me to the URL. When Terry shows them on PSP, they have the URL, you know. Unmute me. Hang on. Terry's saying something to me about unmuting her. So this will be good for NLA because everybody will be able to do. Hang on, Terry. I can unmute you here. I'm getting a little frazzled here. Let me see. I can't get
it's,
back to my...
It's Ollie asking, and I'll get him while you're talking. Go on.
Okay. But anyway, you see what we have here, and we have our show notes, and these are some of the sources that we use to keep ahead. We have Byington that does a lot of the updates and things like that.
Yeah, you want to get a little closer to your mic or speak louder because you're coming in a little low, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this. This is a brand new mic. Anyway, But we'll do more of that in the future. You know, I'm gonna allow Ollie to share his screen. He's gonna give a presentation, because look at the whole idea with this stuff is, you look at it, you educate yourself, but you share it with other people. And Ollie's created a system that is really good, because it makes sharing it and you can well, I'm not gonna steal his thunder here. He's got tools in there that make it nice, because you can start it and stop it. You can make it so that it comes in at the right spot, because like some people don't have the attention span. You know what I mean? They look into, you know, if you can't get them there right away, they won't stay. So what you do is you let it go to the point that you're making the point that you want to make to grab them, and then they'll go back. They'll go back and they'll watch the whole thing if you can catch them for that point, and you catch the video whoever's doing the video makes the point. And it's, let me see, Ollie.
Hello.
Yeah, hit your share, Ollie. I guess I got to stop sharing for you to share, right? Let me.
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Now, Ollie, you're going to...
Okay, you see that?
Hang on. Allow attendee. Okay. I see you. I don't see you sharing your screen, though.
Oh, wait a minute.
You got to go in there and hit share screen. And make sure you click this, you know, pick the screen. There you go. Okay, so go ahead. This is Ollie's site that he built himself, and it's called Video Sanctuary, because we were getting videos and they were disappearing, especially early on in this thing, when, you know, remember Millie and some of those other people that they arrested and they went after, they took their videos down. So what we did is we archived them on our own site. But go ahead, Ollie, you explain it.
Before you go, Ollie, did you click on the share screen? Did you click on share audio, computer audio?
He must have, because I could hear him.
No, but the computer, if he plays anything, you're not going to hear it unless you click that button. All you got to do is go back to share, click it again, and see if you click the button. If you didn't, just check that button. The bottom left side says share computer audio.
Yeah, there's a little slider you got to slide over, Ollie. For sharing sound, it's share
right.
Sound.
So whenever anything's playing on your computer, you can always mute your mic out if you want, and people will still hear it. So.
Yeah, that makes it nicer too. You see that, Ollie? On the bottom, when you first start to share.
Yeah, you have to click that share button again, and that page will open up. And then on the bottom left, make sure that slider is ticked off to the right.
I might have messed him up, because I think I clicked mine when he was trying to click. We didn't lose you, did we, Alan?
Did you go through with him before to show him how the board works?
Yeah, we were on it.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he did it. Me and, actually, I had to get Jan in here. You know, we wanted to bring Ollie in as a host. We didn't know how to do that. We didn't know the credentials. So we brought him in as a presenter. As a matter of fact, where is he? Let's see. Attendees. Is Ollie down as a presenter?
I don't see him as a presenter.
Well, he should be.
Matter of fact, I don't see Ollie anymore.
Yeah, I think we lost him.
He was there.
Why don't you maybe take a call or something while you're waiting for him to get back in?
Yeah.
I'll pipe in if I think I should.
Okay. Let me stop this sharing. Now I can't get rid of it. Here we go. All right, I'm going to go back to the queue. And we have Brent Mallon, I guess it is.
No, that was Marianne, and let me push the button one more time so she falls away because we've already spoke with her. And we also, Derek, what's that? That's the next one. And then Jim we spoke with also, but other than that, you got it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Terry, try to get a hold of Ollie in the meantime on Skype. Go ahead.
Three things. I sent John a message twice that Bonds for the Wind, their contact form does not work.
Give them a call because we link to their site. So all the information, you should be able to get a hold of them, connect, go right to their site and send a message right off of their site.
They don't list their phone number. Do you have their number?
No, but they should have an email there. And there's other connections. They work off of a particular group. Let me see what it is that they work off of.
Yeah, I've been on that Telegram, but it's hard. It's very confusing. They have too many different places on there, and I've contacted a variety of different ones on there. It's like they go by different states and all kind of stuff. And I asked someone to contact me, but it's hard to get a hold of anyone.
Yeah, well, again, you know, they're all volunteers, and it's, you know, we're just working with them, and it's really, we don't have a real strong connection with them, just that we're sending people there. And
if you know the number, that would be best, but their form does not work.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
do you have a question other than that? I'll see if I can find something for you and maybe get it to you, but do you have a question or anything?
Yes.
Or a comment?
Did you look at, one comment I want to say is this. When you were talking about that, we need, concerning getting rid of the bar and that we need attorneys. No, it's not attorneys that we need, it's lawyers we need, because there is a difference, because attorneys are the ones who twist. That's what that means. Attorney means to twist the law. It's lawyers we need. We don't have any more lawyers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. The word lawyer is better used than attorney, so. Absolutely.
All right. The other thing is, did you see the link I sent you of that monster here in Harris County?
Yes, I did. Yeah. That was wasn't that a video or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's a serious situation.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, you the only way you're going to deal with that problem is through your committees of safety. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm working to get that together. The other question is this, I asked you some time back about common law trust. You told me I could contact you back about that.
I believe I put information up on that under the Education Starts Here tab, and you come down to the law, and then you come up down to court forms and processes. I'm pretty sure I put something up there. Let me take a quick look.
Because I'm trying to move my organization, my youth organization, away from the IRS type 501c3. Well, that's when I didn't know any better long ago, and I want to move it into that. And then what I need to ask you is this, when it comes to receiving. Donations, like what kind of bank account do you open? And you know how banks are, they are under
it's the difficult it's IRS. difficult to open a bank account up through a trust because they don't understand it. And I've been to banks talking with them and they want to know all information that's secret and hidden. I say, I can't tell you that.
Yeah,
why
right.
am I going to tell you what this
exactly.
is all about? You know, this is
the first thing they want to ask you is about IRS.
So it is difficult. I ended up just putting my paperwork together and going through my tax number, and because you still got to get a tax number in order to open it up, and you know your VIN number. There's going to be a difference on how that works once we get to the other side, I think. But nevertheless, I ran it through almost as a corporation as far as dealing with the bank was concerned, in order to get an account because it's difficult. It's difficult, but once you give them a name, okay, and you give them your federal number.
It already has that. It's already got all that. I'm just trying to get the common law trust, and I wonder if there's some other way you do
that. Yeah, so all right, I'm looking, right, just real quick, because we don't have a lot of time, and there's people in the queue, and I want to pass things back to Gerard, but I don't see it up here, so I do have it. I'll get it up here. I'll try to have it up there before next week. I thought I stuck it up there. Huh?
Is it a sample common law trust document?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, who's talking?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a common law trust, and Brent did a course on this also, so you might want to check that out, but he is focusing a little towards the civil side of things, but you could still glean a lot of stuff off of him. By the way, whoever's not muted needs to mute themselves, but we're getting a lot of feedback here.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll mute.
Really an income, so I wouldn't be able to take his course anytime soon until I get some money from one of my cases. You know,
yeah. All right, well, let me pass things back to Gerard, okay, because he has some things I think he wanted to share. Gerard, you got the mic, right?
Hello?
Yeah, Ali. Gerard, where you at? Here's Ali.
Do you still see my share?
You're not sharing no more. No, you have
no,
to share.
I don't even see him in the queue, do you?
I don't see him anyways now, but I hear him.
I can't. He wants me to unmute him, but I didn't have him muted.
I unmuted him. He's unmuted, and he's ready to speak.
And I'm muting him.
Okay, he needs to
share. Yeah, John.
Yeah, Gerard's going to share something, so we'll see if we can pick back up. Otherwise, we'll talk next week, and I'll look for that paperwork you want. Okay, I got a little booklet put together for that. All right.
Okay, if you can. All right, as soon as possible.
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right, Gerard, you got it.
Okay. Ollie, try hit your share now. I got it so attendees can... Oh, he's calling me. This is crazy. Ollie, hit your share again. I got it so you can share. Really? He said when he clicks share, it knocks him off. Well, get back on. Don't click share. I'm going to share the Video Sanctuary screen. I want to show them that. So go ahead and get back in the queue. Anyway. All right. Just get in there, and we'll figure it out.
It looks like he bounced out again.
He's staying on.
Yeah, okay, let's just move on with the program, however you want to move it, and if you want to get in more detail, maybe next week we'll work something out.
Yeah, I think this is going to just fell on its face here.
Yeah.
We'll have to practice tomorrow, okay, or next week.
Yeah, well, I had Jan on there, and we had it working, but I don't know what other little problem just happened.
All right, let's move on with our program, Gerard.
So let me see here. I got to see the questions.
Do you want to give an overview of what you've been looking at and what people should know, and
you know what? I wanted Ollie to present the videos and how to use them and how to submit them so that we could, you know, that NLA people can go on there, get videos, and then send them to their friends, you know, educate themselves. And just how the website works. And I really like Ollie to do that. And since he can't come in, I don't want to steal his thunder. We'll do it next week.
Right.
You know, that's all.
All right. I may start a little early so I can don't eat up too much time on the second hour. So.
Okay, so who's next in the queue here? I mean, Jim from PA, we already had him, right?
Yeah, just click on next question, and then if Jim's mic pops up, just click again, and you go to the next one. Anybody else wants to get into queue, *6 and 1 if you're coming in on a phone, or if you've got an app, then you'll see join the queue, get into the queue. But go ahead.
Okay, so yep. Brandon, you're unmuted. Yes, go ahead. Yes,
hello?
You have a question? Okay. Yes, I
yes,
can hear you.
Thank you. I called last week, and I spoke on the weekly call with John. And I was talking about my girlfriend's issue with the family court. It was the last call of the night. I went ahead and submitted an application to have you help me with habeas corpus.
Yeah, I saw that go through, and Jim picked up on it, and I think he sent back to you, said, you know, because it was an issue dealing with parents, we really can't get involved with that. We'll deal with the government if the government's taking your children, or if there's a problem collectively between the two parents that the government is sticking their nose in, that they need to deal with the problem there, because family court and child protective services is a major problem. And so that's where our focus is. I mean, we can give you some thoughts and ideas, but we can't really get involved between mom and dad with their children.
That's what I was confused about. I didn't get a chance to, or I didn't specify during the synopsis what I was requesting, because I wasn't requesting help with the talks, but I need to have a right severed.
Listen, why don't you do this? Send an email to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. So that's mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And in the subject matter, put in attention, John Duresh. And then give me your phone number and just give me a little information. Hey, this is, I think your name is Brandon, right? This is Brandon. We spoke on Monday night. Please give me a call as we discuss. And then I'll give you a call and we'll talk about it privately, okay?
Is there anything else you can file tomorrow to stop the case from proceeding? Or
is it separate
court? Is there anything she can file tomorrow to stop it in its tracks from proceeding any further?
Yeah, I'm having a real hard time understanding you. I don't know. What do you want, a regular telephone, or what are you talking on?
Yeah, he's really fading out.
I'm on my cell phone.
Yeah, give me a call. We'll talk privately, and I'll try to help you out whatever way I can, all right?
Okay, thank you, sir.
No, you got it.
Okay. Ollie, I can't help you.
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you, so did you want to say something?
I don't know. This is all new to me. I was just here.
Yeah, we're going to pick up on your program next week instead of this week, so you guys should get together and practice the process, so... I think Perry said that she'll work that out with you go through the controls and try to make it more effective and presentable.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Let us start the first hour next week.
Yeah, he already said he was going to.
Yeah, do that. I'll give you the first hour.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
All right, let's get on to the attendees.
I'll just do the lead-in. We'll go through the scaring scripture. I'll probably skip the song maybe and then go right in.
Right. Okay, so we got next question. Tony.
Ooh.
You are unmuted.
Hi, can you
go
hear
ahead,
me?
Buddy. Yes, I can.
Okay, so I got a couple questions. I have an IRS problem that I'm dealing with, and I got a couple letters from them, and I don't really know how to reply. I've had other people tell me just don't reply at all.
No, that's
but the worst my attorney's thing. Telling me a whole other thing. So
you have to reply, because if you don't reply, that's silence is acquiescence. That means you agree with them. Ultimately, they're gonna do whatever they want with you, and you're gonna pay the fine.
Okay,
so something.
Okay, so when I reply, like, what would be my reply? I mean,
well,
yeah, this is really outside my.
John has written up papers. You know, if you're not familiar with the court, with how to write a case in the court system, you know, the IRS is the worst one to get into the ring with, because they don't follow anything. They change jurisdiction on you. I mean, you really got to be savvy to fight with them. You know, I mean, we've had a few people. John has done it himself, only because he knew what they were doing, and he beat them to the punchline. You know, he ended up suing everybody. You know, all everybody that went after him. I don't know what your problem is, and I don't want to get real specific because I don't want to get in trouble. But you know, I'm going to give you a couple of pointers. Is number one. When I don't know if they went into your accounts or froze your accounts or done anything like that yet.
No, not yet. They're getting close, though. I know I'm getting close.
Right. So you have to answer that them, and you have to challenge your jurisdiction. We got some good articles on that on the website. also that book that John wrote, the common court access in the common law. That's almost a must if you're going to go in there. It really is. But other than that, you know, if they come after you, one of the things that they'll tell you is, you know, they got a notice of lien, and they'll have the bank lock up your funds, and a lot of time, and they use the sheriff to exercise the lien and all that baloney. Well, first of all, there is no lien; it's a notice of lien, and that's one way John went after them, because the sheriff acted illegally because they didn't produce a lien, and the sheriff can't help them lock your accounts up. So without a lien, John went looking for the lien. There's no lien. They said, "Where's the lien?" "Well, it's on file somewhere." Well, it turned out it wasn't there. So John sued them all. He sued the sheriff, he sued the bank, he sued everybody. And that tied them all up from working. But, you know, this five-minute call is not going to explain to you how and why he did that. I mean, ultimately, he got a letter of apology and a release of lien. And I don't know anybody that does that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, I'm just telling you that if you do the right steps, you can prevail. But if you don't know anything, look at they will get you and twist you around, and it's bad. I mean, you know, even
yeah. Let me just pipe something in real quick. Let me ask you a question. How many letters have you gotten from these people?
Three.
So that you're still in the beginning, maybe. But what about how long has it been? Months?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so they're what they're doing is building a case.
2012 taxes. I filed the taxes. I broke my neck in 2013. I never paid my taxes.
Okay, look, this is what you need to do. You need to understand who you're dealing with and how they can't go after you the way they're going after you, and how to defend yourself. And if you get the book, Court Access in the Common Law, you can get it up at nationallibertyalliance.org on the right side. You'll see the book, Court Access in the Common Law. And on Chapter 13A, it deals with with the IRS court, and it lays out what it is they're doing and how to defend yourself. And they're defenseless if you bring the right position up. So again, you know, I've put this into the book. Now, if you go through that book and you understand how things work by just reading through the book and then focus in on how to deal with the IRS, then if you have questions, then at least you have some basic idea and a framework from the book that I can then talk to you a little better. But you must answer every question, every paper they sent you. But you challenge things, you know. If they get information like, look, they're going to come out after you for $1 zillion. Maybe you think you owe them $5,000, and they'll come out after $50,000. Well, now you've got to go after them back. And where did you get that information from? Do they have a proof of claim? I didn't see a proof of claim. Send me a proof of claim. Part of our strategy now, which I hadn't used before, but I would use now for any agent, is I'd serve them a notice and demand, or even in verbally let it be known, before we go any further, I want a copy of your oath. I want your bond, and I want your financials. And once I get all that, then we'll sit down and we'll discuss things. They're never going to do that. But if you write it up and you do it in a notice of demand, they don't respond, you can pull that in court and force it, and you can have them removed from office. They got 11 days to respond. You know, there's a lot of little things involved here, but that requires somewhat of an education. You don't have to go to college for it. You can get it from the book.
Okay.
All right, I'm off the mic. Back to you, Gerard.
I was going to do have my attorney basically work out a deal with them, but I'm so far in debt with them, it's not even funny.
Yeah, well, that's the other side of the problem, is it becomes so much money, and then you're paying the lawyer money, and the lawyer will, at the end, the lawyer will sell you out. You're not going to win anything. If you take it through a common law process, demand the due process, challenge them in places that they haven't done anything, there is no lien. You know, so you can challenge that. Where's the lien? I want to copy the lien. Well, we filed it with the clerk. You go down to the federal court and you go to that clerk and you'll find it doesn't exist, and you do an affidavit. Then you go after them for fraud. And now you're turning the tables on them, because they never come out. They'll never swear to anything on a piece of paper. Every court case or every situation where the government comes out on you requiring or demanding anything, specifically money, there must, and again, to get you into court or anything, there must be an affidavit. There exists no affidavit. Even if they get you into court, where's the affidavit? Where is the Form 4490 or the Form 56, which is fiduciary authority upon you, proof of claim. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, everything's explained in the book on this. And so you have to start getting the framework and knowledge and get familiar with what's going on. But you could defend yourself. And I also laid out a paper and a memorandum going down their rabbit hole. And there's no way that they can come out after you because you don't fall within the categories that they have the power and authority to go after. You have to be on a farm or working with jet fuel or things of that nature. Mostly it has a lot to do with fuel, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and fuel.
Right.
And you're not participating. So, but again, it begins with an education. Again, that's why every child should learn, and every adult, everyone that's out of school, get a book and start learning everything we need to learn, you know? So
right. That's our schools are a whole other story. So the book, Government by Consent, I just bought that book. Bought a bunch of your books, didn't even know who you guys were, and then found you on the internet, and then looked at the back of my book, and it had your name on it. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, you need the court access.
Access in the common law. It's matter of fact, the book is just as thick, the same kind of book. It's a pretty book. It's solid. It's really well put together. It's good quality.
I'm going to order it tonight. Is it better to order it on your website or Amazon? Which one do you
prefer? If you go to the website and click on it, then you read through and it'll tell you what's in the book. It gives you a layout of what's in the book. If you're looking at the screen right now, you can see it here, and it lays out the table of contents. But then there's links in here which will take you right to order the book right on Amazon. You click the link and there you go.
So it is through Amazon.
I have links on all my books going right to Amazon, so you can come right to the website and go directly to Amazon's page where you can purchase the book.
Right.
And you can also purchase Kindle, and I see these people charge almost as much money as the book. I only charge like $3-4 to Kindle. I want people to learn and hear this anyway, so it's not a big deal, you know. So.
Yeah. So the other book, you've got a lot of books. So the government by consent. So.
Right.
Committee of Safety. If you want to become a Committee of Safety member, I do this book first. This is the first course.
Well, that's a book to gain knowledge all around with everything. It Government by Consent, it deals with the Constitution, basic understanding, a little bit on the court, a little bit of everything, and it gives you the information that everybody should really know. But as far as building a Committee of Safety, it does give you some instructions and information, but I wrote a book which you can purchase also in a handbook for about, I don't know, $6 or something. It's a pocket handbook on how to create a Committee of Safety. But you can get that for free if you go to the website and come under Start a Committee of Safety and come down to Handbooks and Tools. And almost all my handbooks are for free in PDF form. So you don't have to buy the handbooks. But people wanted them because sometimes it's convenient. They could stick it in their shirt pocket or their pocketbook or back pocket or whatever.
I like books.
Right. But anyway, you can download it. But the book, the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, okay, that is a step. I think it's 70 pages, okay, and it's a step-by-step process. And it starts from the beginning. You know, you're first signing up and getting together with one person, meeting with them, discussing and moving things along and how to do things, cover everything on how to build a Committee of Safety step-by-step. Just follow the process. And when you have questions or you're confused on something or whatever the case may be, you can come here on a Monday night and say, hey, I was in the book on page this, that, or the other thing. It says this, that, and I don't understand it. And we'll try to give you some more information that way.
Okay, great. I appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome. All right, I'm muting out, Gerard.
Yeah.
I got to run for my son in a few minutes anyway. So
it's perfect. We got one person left, and we got maybe just enough time. Hey, it's Jay from North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay. You're unmuted.
I got your email.
Why don't you give me a call tomorrow, the next day? And I know you wanted goodness, what was it you wanted? Oh, yeah, I know what you wanted, a copy of, which I don't want too much out in the public on that, but give me a call in 2 or 3 days. Next 2 days is really, right after Thanksgiving, call me. Meanwhile, I'll try to get that out before Thanksgiving to you, okay?
Okay, and I've been trying to get Derek Johnson our information.
He would be a key person because I think he'd realize real quick and start pushing us. So, and that could be helpful.
Isn't he great?
Yeah. Yeah, I posted his last one up on our page under Q, you know, the Q news page. So.
Okay, well, that's all I really had.
Okay, Jay.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I love Derek Johnson. You could see how he's come along since he started the first one.
Gerard, and I sent you a thing tonight on it's on Telegram, but it's on the Illuminati.
I already looked at it. I didn't have enough time, but I started to listen to it. But it starts
right out with
Alan Weisop, right?
Uh-huh. It goes all the way back to the 1700s and lays out everything about,
These guys,
you know, I've always known about the Illuminati. I always knew this shit, but the way he laid it out was pretty good. I was like, ooh, I got to share this with everybody.
Yeah. You know, as you get older, you hear this and you hear that. But then when somebody puts it in the timeline and puts it all together, that makes a big difference when you see how it actually fit and how it ran according to the timeline. Like a lot of times you hear things out of time. You know, what was first, what was second, and that's why we're always confused. Because the schools, you know, the news media and the schools, they do it purposely so that you can't follow this freaking story, you know? They know what they're doing. So it's always good to get something like that. I listened to the first, I don't know, 15 minutes of it. So, and I could tell it was good, you know, right when
It's like an hour and 30 minutes long. I just ran across it just by accident, you know, and I was like going down the road going, oh man, this is great.
Maybe we'll get John to post that on the website because I think that's people.
Yeah, Gerard, drop me a link into my Skype for that.
Yeah, and it was on Telegram, so.
It was on Telegram, but I downloaded it onto my phone, but I can't send it. The file's too big to send anybody off of my phone.
Right.
Email it.
Yeah, you can. You go into what's that one we use? Crap.
But John could download it and put it on our website. Mm-hmm. That would be no problem.
I understand, but just for your own edification, go into WeTransfer.com. And WeTransfer.com.
Uh-huh.
And it'll say you do it through your email, right? You put your email in there, and then you use whoever's email that you want to send it to, and it will send a link that's up on the cloud. It never downloads to your computer or to their computer.
Uh-huh. You know, well, and I could have created a link, but it's not my video, you know. And I started to create a link, and then I'm like, wait a minute, who's, you know, how can I share this information?
Link, yeah, you can because it's in the public sector. It's on Telegram, of course. It's news.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't even worry about it. So
I started worrying about copyright infringement. You know, if I download it somewhere in the
cloud. First of all, you're not selling it. And they have no idea where it went. It's in cyberspace. It goes to that person. Nobody sees it. You know what I mean? It's not like you're making money. You're charging for it. That's where you get in trouble. You know.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But, you know that. You know. Once
I handed out 45,000 copies of 9/11 and New World Order crap and martial law crap and, you know, back in 2002. Mm-hmm. And people would go, well, how much do you want for this? And I'm like, dude, I can't charge you for that. You know, you want to donate, but I can't charge you nothing for it. Here, just take it.
Took the words out of my mouth. Give me a little donation, you know?
Yeah. You want to donate it to me? I swear to God, whatever you give me, I'll go into buying more DVDs, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole name of this. Look, at we're keyboard warriors. This is the battle we're having. You know, we could be having bullets in the street, and the more we put the information out there, the less chance of that happening, you know?
Gary Franchi even interviewed me on his radio show long before he was...
Oh, no.
Yeah, Gary Franchi interviewed me on his radio show long before he was even involved with the National Liberty Alliance, and he called me the DVD... what did he call me? The DVD activist.
I said,
you can't talk to people about this information. You just got to put it on a DVD and give it to them and let them go home and sit in their living room. And
yeah, exactly. You're right.
In the safety of their living room. Dude, don't trust me. Don't listen to me. Just watch this and decide for yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are today. It's all about education, isn't it?
Yep. Well, I was doing that long before I met you guys.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear from you. It's always good. Thank you, Jay. And
okay.
We'll be in touch. Yep.
Okay. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm going to sign off, or it's already 5 after or whatever, according to my clock. Anyway, it's 11 o'clock at least. So it's been good, and sorry I didn't get the other thing going, but we'll do that next week. Okay? Have a good night, everybody. Let's stop this recording. And
good night.
Good night. Oh.